The grace and love of our Lord and Savior be with us always. Amen. The word of God we want to consider today is again our scripture lesson from this past Sunday, which was the fourth Sunday of Easter. We're looking at Acts chapter 13, verses 15 to 16 and 26 to 33. Remember that we're looking at, instead of the Old Testament readings, some readings from the book of Acts to tell us the history of the early Christian church. Luke was inspired to write, "After the reading from the law and the prophets, the synagogue rulers sent word to them, saying, 'Brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak.' Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, 'Brothers, children of Abraham, and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he was seen by those who traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. We tell you the good news. What God promised our fathers, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son, today I have become your father.'" My dear friends in Christ, the Apostle Paul was on his second missionary journey, first missionary journey at this time. He had come to Antioch in the province of Pisidia, which is in the middle of modern-day Turkey. Just some background information. But as was his custom, when he came to a city on the Sabbath day, what he would do is go to the synagogue. And that's what Paul did. Our reading says, "After the reading from the law and the prophets, the synagogue rulers sent word to them, saying, 'Brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak.'" It was the normal function of the synagogue rulers to organize the worship and set up people who were to do the readings in the synagogue. There were no pastors who served them on a regular basis. So when the rulers of the synagogue realized here that they had a visitor, someone like the Apostle Paul, well, or if they had someone else that possibly they knew, they would look to that person and see if he had a message to share with the people. They surmised, perhaps they knew Paul, that he would have something for the people that day. Well, Paul began his sermon. "Men of Israel and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. It is to us that this message of salvation has been sent." Now, with those words, when he says, "to us this message of salvation has been sent," well, he's talking specifically to God's chosen people, the Israelites, it was sent. Now, it was sent specifically here to the Apostle Paul. But here he's pointing out that all of Israelite history, it pointed ahead to Jesus. God had set the Israelite nation apart so that their entire existence could center around that promised Messiah. And that's why every Saturday, every Sabbath day, the Jews would have a rest day. The Israelites would have this rest day. And that rest was to give them rest from their physical labors. But as they rested from their physical labors, it was always to get them to think about the rest that they'd have in the promised Savior, rest from the burden of their sins, rest in the promised one. And now all of the thousands of sacrifice that the priests offered for the Israelites in the temple and in the tabernacle, all of those sacrifices, they all pointed ahead to Jesus, to the one sacrifice, his one sacrifice on the cross that really did pay for sins, the only sacrifice that God accepted as a payment for sin, and it paid for every sin, for all sins that have ever been committed or will ever be committed. But now the Jews, their entire existence was to be centered in Jesus. But when he came, Paul said, the people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus. Yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. And now see, the people of Jerusalem, they tried to stop Jesus. They saw him as arch enemy number one. They wanted to get rid of him. Caiaphas, the high priest, kind of amazing thinking about here, he was an enemy of Jesus, but yet he spoke, well, the Holy Spirit used him to speak such a wonderful prophecy about Jesus. He said, it is better that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish. If only Caiaphas had known what he was saying, that God's gracious purpose would be carried out through all of their efforts to stop Jesus. When they tried to stop Jesus, when they rejected him and condemned him, well, God was using them to keep Jesus going on his way to the cross and to pay for our sins for us. We may say that those who had Christ crucified had no excuse. They should have known better. They shouldn't have fought against Jesus, nor should anyone fight against Jesus today, because Jesus just has our best interests always at heart. Well, today no one can plot to kill Jesus. That's happened already. But people today do still try to stop him or discredit him by outright denial of the Word of God, or maybe just chipping away at Bible teachings. Perhaps they started questioning the whole feasibility of the six-day creation. And maybe they deny, for example, the historicity of the story of Jonah being swallowed by the big fish. Those are easy things, easy targets, we could say. They question God's will for sex and marriage. And then it doesn't take long to question Jesus' virgin birth, his miracles, and even the resurrection. Today, people are still trying to stop Jesus and the spread of his word. Unfortunately, you and I need to confess that whenever we live contrary to what God says in his word, our actions would also have to be described as an attempt to stop Jesus. There was a missionary who was about to enter a communist country. And when he got to the border guards asked him the question, "Do you have any guns, drugs, or Bibles?" And now, when we hear that question, we say, that sounds like a pretty strange question to ask. Well, we can understand the guns. Guns kill people when they're in the wrong hands. And drugs, they can alter and distort the mind, and they can kill. But the Bible? Why were the border guards concerned about the Bible? Because the Bible is more of a threat to an atheistic government than guns and drugs are. God's word can and does instill hope and enrich life and free the human spirit, even when a person is confined and dealing with all kinds of problems and troubles. That's why Christ's enemies today do all they can to discredit the Bible. But Jesus can't and couldn't be stopped. The people of Jerusalem tried, but the Lord says, my word will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. People try to discredit God's word and its law gospel and its sin and grace message. But Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So what does all of this say to us? Since anyone who tries to discredit God's word is ultimately trying to stop Jesus, what we'll want to do is work at trying to carefully follow God's word. The Lord told Israel, follow my decrees and be careful to obey my laws, and you will live safely in the land. We live in a time of leniency, and you know that. Our world seems to care less and less about what God's word says. People are of the opinion, I want to do what I want to do. And a motto of people in the world today is, if it feels good, do it. But that dare not be our motto. Instead, as God directed Israel, let's be careful to follow God's will. Let's always ask ourselves the question, not, can I get away with doing this? But rather, is this the best thing that I can do to serve my God? Let's remember that, well, there are many attacks on Jesus and his word. Many attempts to try to stop Jesus and his word. But those efforts, they're never going to stop him. But let's never be on the side of those who would be fighting against the word of God. Let's rather carefully follow that word and remember what Jesus said. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and obey it. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, the people of Jerusalem tried to stop Jesus, and we, because of our own sin and rebellion against you, will at times also try to stop Jesus. Thank you for giving us a Jesus who couldn't and can't be stopped. He did everything for our eternal salvation. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for all you've done and keep on doing for us. We pray in your name. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always.